first of all, to wish everybody hatzlach on the chazan, and everybody enjoys. If you give it a chance, you'll enjoy it. At least that's what they tell me. So I wish you all hatzlach on. People should try to take the bechina on time. I think Robbie already made an announcement, so we won't have to repeat it. But it's a better idea for everybody to do the chazara and to, put together the topics, and then we'll be able to move on to the next topics. But we will have to have a shiur or two just to finish up the issues of a little bit of Netilas Rishus Mareish Galusa and Nasig that we're not going to be able to get to fully because they're all connected, as you'll see. And certainly Talmud Al Yora, we're going to discuss some of the basics today, but Talmud Al Yora Elim Kei Natal Rishus Mei Rabo a little bit, and especially Talmud Al Yora Bimakom or Bifnei Rabo, especially the details of the Sugya and Erevin. We'll have to pick up with that when we come back. So there'll be a couple of shiurim on those topics. But mostly, when we come back, we'll after one or two or three shiurim, we'll be starting probably with Pshara, which is the Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph. And then, moving from there, we'll try to get into some of the topics of Zeborer as well. Okay, so for today, try not to keep it too long, but let's try to pick up where we were. I want to just talk about some basic points on the Netilas Rishus issue, and then, if I have a little few minutes, I just want to also fill in some of the Eni Yodea. Eni Yodea also, where there's a lot more interesting material about the status of Eni Yodea in the not so much in the Rishonim, but at least in the interpretations of the Rambam. If we don't get to it all today, it's just worth on your own, and also in the Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat, there are some really interesting issues there as well. So we were in the middle of discussing the Tilos Rishus Mireish Galusa Uminasi, and again, I'm just going to spend a few more minutes on that, and then a few minutes on the other one. I think we read the Gemara so far, and we're trying to figure out, both on a practical level and on a conceptual level, what the relationship is between these three different issues. Smicha, classical smicha, the main treatment of which is the Mishnah and that base, and the sugyas that we did already in the beginning of the year, Yud Gimel Amud Beis and Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and throughout. Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa Umin Anasi, which is what we're talking about here on Hey Amud Aleph through the beginning of Hey Amud Beis, and Talmud Al Yore Elim Kei Natal Rishus Mirabo, which the Gemara thinks is the reference to Yore. So this is very confusing, but just practically to sort it out is confusing. As we're seeing, we just don't know, for example, whether or not that this person or these people that we're talking about had smicha, mirabam, or not, or whether it was beside the point. It's just hard to know. Moreover, some of the categories that we associate certainly with classical smicha, including the language, Yori Yori Yadin Yadin, Yatir Bechoros, Yatir, and so on, and some of the other issues seem to be, in the Babli at least, are treated in the context of Tils Rishus Mirabo Bereish Galusa, rather than the Sugyas Yud Gimel Amud Beis Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Although in Yerushalmi and Chagiga might be different, and the Rambam, certainly in Perek Dalet of Sanhedrin, you get a very different impression. So just what Lemaisa is going on? Does a Samuch need a Netilas Rishus Mareish Galusa or Menanasi or not? That's also discussion in the Kiddushah Ran here, which I told you to look at, but it's complicated. Again, we're not going to be able to go into the details right now, but the Kiddushah Ran here in Hayomid Aleph discusses, the Ramban, Rabbi David Bonfield, it's not so clear in the Rambam, just Lemaisa, what are we talking about in these cases? And we'll see in a second that the Gemara says that Talmud al Yoralim Kei Natal Rishus Mirabo is partly an explanation of why we even need Rishus for Yore. So part of that is because of Netilas Rishus Mirabo. But something which again we have in our Nusach of the Smicha, which the Rambam again quotes in Perek Dalet, which the Yerushalmi and Chagiga also quotes in that context of smicha, and which, though, if you were to isolate it, according to a couple of lines in our Gemara, you would think has nothing to do with that, but it's a din in, you know, kavod, you know, talmud chacham. So maybe it's both, or maybe kavod talmud chacham also is an aspect of mesorah and of, you know, smicha or quasi smicha. So it's it's a very peculiar sugya. Normally we know more clearly just what we're talking about practically, you know, what the case is, and here there's just a lot of overlap in the cases. But so that's challenging to figure out, and it's not so easily accomplished. At the same time, what our antennae are searching for, what we want to be sensitive to, is not only the practical question, but especially the conceptual question, meaning are dinim associated, you know, with either classical smicha or Netilas Rishus Mereshkim Lusa Min Anasi, or Talmud Al Yorah Limkin Natal Rishus Mirabo, are they assumed to be, you know, connected as well? And again, the bigger point being also, right, that one could have argued that these are very different ideas. One could have thought that smicha is all about, you know, the status and the license, you know, of being Rebbe or and a Dayan, currently Rebbe Minosim L'Rishus, the issues that we discussed earlier in the year. That Netilas Rishus Mirech Galusa Min Anasi, one could have thought, was about practical licensing, you know, for the sake of, Ptur Tashlumim and possibly Kfiya. And one could have thought that Talmud Al Yorah Limkei Natal Rishus Mirabo, as I say, was just about Kvod Rabo, just between him and the Rebbe, and nothing more. But if that really were the case, and they were three totally different issues, and some Rishonim probably think that they are, or some Poskim think that they are, then there really should be no automatic association, or there should be no automatic assumption that halachos that apply to one apply to the other. And what I think we've already seen, I'll just sum up what we've seen in the Tilas Rishus Mirech Kulusam Nasi in a second, is that both in the language and institutions, as well as in some of the applications, that there are plenty of views here that there are overlaps between the two, or between the three. And that what applies to one applies to the other two, or applies to one applies to at least one of the others, etc. And surely that, you know, seems to establish that at least for a big group or a group of poskim, right, that whatever the differences are, these still are viewed as types of smicha. And that's the point I want to make. Even the Rama, who, at one point in Hilchos Talmud Torah, says, Tilas Rishus Mirabo is a Rishus Bialma, and therefore it doesn't have to be burdened by some of the more rigorous requirements of that we associate with smicha. That same Rama in the Tshuva, at one point, felt differently. And even when he formulates it this way, therefore, probably have to take it with a grain of salt, did he change his mind 1,000% and there's nothing, one thing has nothing to do with the other? Or is the point that, despite the fact that we, continue to look at these things together and as being connected, nonetheless, it's important to know what chilukim also can be made, lemaisa, in applying them. In a way, if that's the case, the connections are more conceptually surprising and therefore compelling, than the chilukim. Chilukim, we understand. The connections almost, are more difficult to understand. Anyways, getting back to Netilas Rishus Mereish Galusav Min Anasi, so we read the Shakla Vitaria. I think we read that whole Shakla Vitaria, right? On Hayim and Alephayim and Beis, that part of it. So again, the initial association with the Dino Din, we thought was very striking. The question is Lamaskana, where the Gemara says that it is Dino Din, even without Rishus Minasi Umereish Galusa. So what do we make of that? Is the Gemara turning its back? But the initial assumption is that this is something very basic. I mean, this is a at minimum a significant requirement in the license. And again, we should just remember, harken back to the Rishonim who were saying that smicha, classical smicha, is a condition for Hechsher Din, Dino Din, the Ramban, you know, the Chidushi Haran, the implicit view of probably the majority of the Rishonim, whether it's based on Elohim or Lifneim or Lifnei Hedyotos, etc. So the idea that, you know, Rishus Mi, Resh Gunusam and Anasi also has that idea is surprising. Again, it's rejected in the end. You know, the question is what remnant remains of it. So the remnants are Ptur Tashlumin. That's again an open book because, as we've already seen and know, and we know we need to do a lot more on that topic. The you know, it's hard to know whether that's an extraneous issue, the question of malpractice insurance or malpractice protection, or that too is a shiur in a, you know, level of dayan, level of din, and so on. There are clearly Rishonim who take different views about that, and huge nafkamina. You know, that's one of the biggest simanim, the whole malpractice issue, you know, different aspects of it. Both the Tos B'Shikal Das and Tos B'Dvar Mishnah is an important topic that we really should do at some point thoroughly. But that's how the Gemara concludes. Kfiya is the other issue, according to the Rambam. Again, according to the Balei Tosas on Hayamid Aleph, we've already seen, even Gimel Hedyotos have the capacity of Kfiya, but according to the Rambam, you know, certainly the way many Nos Kalim understand it, as we discussed, Perek Dalad Alachi Yadalid, that is an issue connected to Reish Galusa, Heter, Reish Galusa, and Nasi. That's what the Rambam actually brings in, that halacha. It's interesting, in the Rambam brings in the dinim of Reish Galusa and Nasi in Perek Dalid, unlike the din of Talmud al-Yoreh, or at least not the explicit part of that, we'll get to in a second, but he brings it again in the end of the Perek. You know, most three-quarters of the Perek, four-fifths of the Perek, right, is really dealing with, as we know, classical smicha. Okay. In terms of, I think the last thing that we were discussing, partial netilas rishus, temporary netilas rishus, and the factor of roi lahoros b'chol tarakula. So, two of those appear in the in this sugya explicitly, right? Temporary and partial. Right, that's the Gemara's discussion of, you know, withholding Yatir Bechoros, right, from who they withhold it from? From Rav, right? From Rav?
Yeah.
They withheld it from Rav. And then at the end of the Gemara, which I'm not sure if we read yet, because we didn't get to that part yet, but at the very end of the Gemara, which we're going to read in just a minute, so the Gemara says, Pshita, right? Lepalga haka'amar dimahani altnai mai. And the Gemara says, Tashma, damale Rabbi Yochanan l'Rav Shaman hare ata birshusenu achatavo etzlenu. So that is the, you know, that's the end. That's where we get to the Eini Yodea part of Shmuel, which we did because we were Kori a little mafre, right? So basically, the Gemara says, is raising the question, and this is the context still of, not of classical smicha, but of, presumably, of Netilas Rishus Rabo and Reish Galusa, what about, Lepalga is splitting the Tchumim, or the Mikzoos, and, you know, the Wizman is a question whether or not you can, you know, you can license him, you know, only for a certain period of time. And the Gemara says that both of those things could be done. Again, the very notion that you couldn't, or that you need to prove that you could, is more surprising than the maskana that you can. Right? In other words, the more you think that this is just a, you know, a technical, extraneous rishus, and something that gives you, you know, malpractice protection, you could always take out a policy for a month. Or somebody can give you a policy and say, you know what, but it ends after 2 years, right? Because the more extraneous it is, the more flexible it is. Or they could say, you know what, you're covered for these illnesses, but not for that, those other ones. Or for accidents, but not for illness. Or for whatever. Meaning it's all extraneous anyway. It's an insurance policy, basically. Or it's a licensing you know, mechanism. So if I want to make it temporary or I want to make it limited, then there should be no issue, no problem. The only way that I think makes sense to think that, you know, once you license somebody, then it has to be forever, or that once you license somebody, it has to be across the board, is if you assume that this is about stature, not just about license or technical function, or that the function itself flows from the stature. You want to say, Korele Rebbe, you know, if by definition Rebbe means Roy Lahoros B'chol Torah Kula, or having a certain stature, or having a certain status, so it's a stira minei ubei to say, oh, it runs out in 30 days. You know, unless you think, you know, unless you have data that says that, you know, that a person's, judgment or his, you know, something of that sort, you know, runs out. And, you know, we hope that that's not true. We know the, you know, challenges of aging and other things, but all things being equal, you know, we like to be optimistic, and there are plenty of evidence of exceptions. So obviously that's not the point. And either way, this has nothing to do with age in the Gemara. This has to do with... So the idea that, you know, there could be a time limit, or especially if you think to begin with that, you know, having a certain comprehensive knowledge is part of what makes you Rebbe. Without that, you can't have it. So then limit it, as we discussed in Smicha. So in a way, the maskana that you can... is less surprising than the havamina, you know, that you can't. And once again, we're left with the question whether this is the Gemara's way of turning its back on, you know, they saying, yeah, what are you talking about? This is just, you know, insurance. Or is the Gemara saying, it's true, this is also a tier, a stature, right? But, so again, if we were to be mechalek here between classical smicha and this din, that would be very significant. What would be also significant would be if the hashpa'ah, if the impact would be in the other direction. Like, are we learning that classical smicha, you know, can be split and can be temporarily, you know, or can be given only temporarily, or can be, you know, removed? Are we learning that from the Tilas Rishus, Mireish Galusa, and Min Anasi? So, you know, these are the questions, alongside the question, again, an equally interesting one, is there a din of Roy Lahoros, you know, B'chol HaTorah Kula, in the Tilas Rishus Mireish Galusa and Min HaNasi. Oh. So as far as all these, yeah, sorry.
It's really significant that the Gemara's Maskana is not a time limit in terms of 3 years, 4 years, but it's Ariyat HaTavu Rishusenu Ashatavu Etzlein. I mean, specifically until more people with more expertise arrive on the scene.
Yeah.
That's when Yerusha was last year. So maybe his stature was limited by the presence of his Rebbeim, or...
Meaning by his being the best address for all this, which also says something about getting the best result,
right.
Which again goes back all the way earlier to our Lidros Es Ha'elokim Moshe Rabbeinu discussion, to, you know, things like the Mabit, and, you know, Kol Holech Achar HaChachma, and... You know, Rabim Chalalim Mipila, right? Atsumim Kol Harugeha. The balance, you know, between Misha Ena Roy Lahoros Mora, you know, Misha Roy Lahoros Veina Mora. Some of these things, 100%. And I think we'll see that in a second in terms of Talmud. You know, Bifnei Rabo, especially as we've already discussed the language of the Gemara in Ksubis, right? Lav Mishum Afgarusa, right? El Mishum Delo Istaya Milsa. So, 100%, I think that is very important. Anyways, getting back to this, these issues. So what we were saying on Thursday was that, you know, these become particularly acute for the Rambam, because, as we know, the Rambam has this din of, you know, Lepalga, and the Rambam has this din of Lizman, both. Right? But in the context of classical smicha, he doesn't even repeat it when he talks about Reish Galusa and Nasi. And the question of the Rambam is, like, where did he even know that these things applied to smicha? And also, where did he know about Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula? Right? So the you could say Yerushalmi in Chagiga, and certainly that may also be the case, but it is interesting to note that the in the Bavli, these dinim that the Rambam integrates into regular smicha, right, all come from, in the Bavli at least, Netilas Rishus and Mireish Galusa Minanasi. These are the Makoros. Ad kedei kach, that, you know, the Radvaz suggested that even Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula comes from the Bavli. Again, we know from the Yerushalmi, from the Rambam in Pirshas Ha'isa in Bechoros, that he really, and like a Mishnah has his Ha'ara independently, right, that he got it from the Yerushalmi in the Chagiga. But it's as fascinating, the Kesef Mishnah says, if somebody could get that line, Kesef Mishnah says, I don't know where he got this from, this din of Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula, but the Radvaz says, I think he got it from the discussion of Rav. Anybody have a line? What? You working on it? Okay, the first person, call a Kodem Zoche. Right in Perek Dalet. Where is it? Halacha? Not Halacha. Call a Torah Kula. Where is it? Dalet Ches?
So,
Kesel Mishnah says, I don't know where he got it from. Lecha Mishnah says he got it from Yerushalmi. Pirush Mishnayis supports that. But look, what does the Kesef Mishnah say? I mean, the Radvaz? I think it's the Radvaz. They're quoting all these Gemaras as the Makar. Yeah. So what? How did he read the Gemara? He read the Gemara in the following way. When the Gemara said on Hayom at Beis, right? The Gemara says what? how come he didn't get Yatir Bechoros? Right? Like the Gemara is worried about the covet of Rav, you know? Like how do you deny, you know, Rav this option? So two things. Number one, it goes back to something that we spoke about. Maybe there are conflicting signals in the Rambam whether or not the ability to deny somebody Lapalga, in other words, is that artificial or is that natural? In other words, the Rambam says clearly that you can give Yor Yorah not Yadin Yadin, or Yadin Yadin and not Yatir Bechoros, right? But is that you have to give each one separately? Right? Or you have the ability to withhold. So we already noted that sounds like the Rambam has different formulations in Pirush Mishnayis Sanhedrin, in Pirush Mishnayis Bechoros, in Perek Dalet, right? Part of the perspective that it's naturally indivisible rather than naturally divisible, and that's a huge issue, because that's what we're talking about, both in Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa and Smicha, right? Because again, the more we're talking about stature, the more it should be fundamentally indivisible. The more we're talking about something more extraneous, it should be fundamentally divisible. If I don't, you know, if I didn't give you license for this, then you don't have license for this. But if it's about who you are, what you're deserving of, you know, it all flows from your level of knowledge and piety and so on. You know, your Chachmei Mesorah is by definition a walking Sefer Torah is by definition a Roy Lahoris B'chol Torah Kula. By the way, we still have to define what that means and what the exceptions of that are. We'll have to, when we take up, the first two or so shiurim, and we fill in a little bit, that's one of, this hold me to that also, because we talked about it a little bit when we talked about Smicha in terms of, you know, Suma, Saris, Ger, Bixos in Ger, if you remember, but we need to speak more about it. Bikias, okay. So again, expertise in the practical expertise in Mumin, knowledge of Mumin, Dine Mumin, you know, what do we mean by Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula? But the point is that there are different formulations. So when the Gemara here says, you know, why did they withhold this from Rav? So the practical way to read the Gemara is like it's curiosity. Like, you know, Rav has a reputation. You know, you'd think of all people, you know, you'd want to give Rav everything. Like, why wouldn't you give Rav, full, the Tilas Rishus? But you don't have to make anything of it conceptually. It doesn't mean that somebody who's, you know, Roy, you know, you have to justify why not. But as we already discussed, the some of the Nosakelim say this. They say, oh, you see from Rav that it's naturally, right, indivisible, and you're trying to explain, you know, why you have to give an excuse, why not? But again, so let's remember two things here. What this issue is about, and, you know, whether or not what we're saying about Netil Sushos Mareish Galusam and Anasi is the same as what we'd be saying about Smicha. Okay. So on the divisibility or indivisibility of it, we have that issue also in a second. We're going to have it in Yoreh. Yoreh, right, the Gemara says about in the next line. Let's have somebody just read the next line quickly. Avram, go ahead. Just a couple of lines, just get it in for the, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute. What did we read till last time? Yeah, Yori Hour. Yeah, that's what we're up to, right? I want to talk still a little bit more, but we're not finished with Rishus. I just want to make a point quickly. Yori Yora? Tell me about Yoral and Cain. How do we go here?
Rishus Amami is a Mishkan. After Osman Shavimun over.
Yeah, go ahead. Avram? Yore, Yore, Igamir, Rishus Alamal in the Mishkal. Okay, we'll read it later. The Gemara says from the Shemaisa Shahaya, right? So Tosis immediately jumps in. Tosis says, Igamir Lamal Rishus Alamal in the Mishkal, Hadla Mishani Le'inyan Lipater, the Perkachadini Mamanis Mukach Shitzarach Rishus Lipater be Isur V'Heter, right? Even in Isur V'Heter, if you make a mistake, there's liability. So why not say that that's what you need it for? Bishim de'ili pater greida. But then what's the Gemara's question? We'll see in a moment. It's not you don't need a dayan in Isur V'Heter. So what do we need? Rishus Mareish Galusa or Menanasi? Or you can ask the same question about smicha. But again, for the Rambam, Perek Daled, that's smicha, yore yore. Apparently, there's a chalos smicha for Isur V'Heter, just like there's a chalos smicha as we discussed for. Heter b'choros and for nedarim, right? The Rambam has all those, even though you don't need them, but there is a chalos. Okay. Anyways, the Gemara is asking, like, what do you need Rishus Mareish Galusa for Isur V'Heter? Right. That doesn't mean that it isn't a psak, but it may mean either it's mar moko but not a psak, or it means that even if it is a psak, but you don't need that kind of Rishus. So Tosa says, what do you mean you don't need that for Shana Rishus? You need it for malpractice, right? Go ahead, Avram. So what is the answer? Yeah. So in a way, what it's supposed to say, inochanami, but what's the but?
One of the two is insufficient.
One is the two because it's basically implicit that it's in everything. So is that just again, an umdana de muchach? Or is that because if you want to divide it, you have to divide it, but fundamentally it's a package? So I told you to look at the Tosa Rosh. What does Tosa Rosh say?
He
says, no, some people know one, they don't know the other. Right? Which is interesting anyway, as we'll see in a second. Right? What happened to Roy Lahoros? We'll call it Tarakula. Right? Or maybe he means it, you know, it's in terms of practical. So what does Tosa Rosh say? Usually there's a kind of implicit kibloli, so it's true that there can be tashlumin, but in most cases there's a kibloli which would work, bein bedin, bein beisur v'heter. But what emerges is an interesting argument between Tosis and the Tosa Rush, whether or not there's an odd, when you get reshus, mireish galusam, and anasi, does it go across disciplines automatically or not? Which is exactly parallel to the argument, now this is in Yore Yore, Talmud, right? Mekabel Rishus in the end of the day Mirabo, but we'll get that to Maskana, but The point is that there's a parallel to the argument that we're talking about in the Rambam. But some of the Nosa Kalim say that the Rambam's, you know, that basically the Gemara is establishing the package, you know, to begin with, because they're trying to tell you that you have to justify why Rab didn't get this. You don't have to read the Gemara that way. You could just say the Gemara is speaking about curiosity. It's like, well, they wouldn't give Rav the, you know.
And what's the, what are the arrangements for that?
Sure, I think they want to have to, I think it's a lot more clear. They want to have it very fast.
Oh, and it's not going to Eretz Yisrael?
I think so. Yeah, it's 3 o'clock. I didn't say it was Eretz Yisrael.
I'm sorry to have to announce that Rav Weiss, I don't know if how many people were exposed to him. He actually spoke last a couple of years ago in the Beis Medrash. He hadn't been here for a number of years. He was a Rebbe here for many, 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 many years. I think he was the Zakan HaRabbanim here, so he was Niftar today, and sadly. And the Levi is at 2 o'clock in Shomer Das's Borough Park. Right? In Borough Park. So, either way, we'll finish on time. He was a Talmud already, I think, he was the last of the Talmudim here of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And I didn't know him so well, but he was he taught Yoredeya here for, you know, 60 years, really had a tremendous impact on his Talmidim, and a very unusual, very special person. So I'm sorry to announce that. If there's more information, we'll pass it on. On the one hand, you have this debate, and you have this link to this particular sugya. There are Rishonim that say, there are Mefarshim who go further. Did you find the language of the Radvaz?
In
terms of Roy Lahoros, Bechol Torah Kula.
Yeah, it's in the board.
Oh, okay.
Kachamut
Sheroy Lahoros, Nilma Mehach So I think that there are two. Is he just saying, well, these happen to be who these people are, so mimela, you know, we shouldn't, you know, project beyond, you know, the. I think that would be strange. I think that the real diuk, and I've seen some of Farshim say this, is that that's how they understand the Gemara's question. Not only as representing the notion that there's a package deal here, implicitly, but also the perspective that you know, the assumption that everybody who's getting this entil so shows Reish Galusa is somebody who is welcome. You just came in, or you were here before? Oh, you just came in. So I was going to say I was remiss for not seeing you and welcoming you earlier, but okay, always good to have you. The assumption that he's, you know, Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula is part of the question. That he is Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula, and therefore, and then the Gemara doesn't disappoint, because the Gemara says, you know, that, you know, either that then it becomes an interesting question, because if that's the assumption, then when the Gemara says, you know, "Delo b'ki b'mumi," it becomes an interesting question how you define, right, Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula. Let's say you know the theory, but you don't know the practice. Right? Is it a shiur in, you know, your learning, or is it really the capacity to be Mora Hora B'chol HaTorah Kula? So in the Maskana, the Gemara says, and is the Gemara therefore saying it's impossible that he didn't have that level of experience either, because according to this view, that's Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula, or that's beside the point. Either way, the Gemara's Maskana, which is that they withheld from Rav, either Lachlo Kavod L'Rabba Barchana, that's a fascinating notion, although Rashi kind of moderates it, by saying that, you know, Rab didn't require, not at the expense of Rab, it was like, you know, a zenene bezelo chaser, because, you know, Rab's stature was so self-evident that, you know, it didn't take away from him. That's the Rashi here. But, of course, the next line of the Gemara is even more fascinating, where the Gemara says that the reason that they withheld Yatir Bechor as a license is because of his, it was a function of his great expertise. And that, of course, in a way, leads to the next point, which we'll get to in a second, and that is the sense of practical responsibility, you know, in giving people a license, right, to be Mora Hora. Right, so A, they have to be objectively qualified, and B, right, there is this, you know, understanding that this isn't just an abstract appointment, but that it has consequences in terms of actual psak and the impact on Klal Yisrael. So sometimes, you know, you can appoint somebody whose level of qualification, or he's overqualified, right, in the sense that, you know, his psakim become a if they become a paradigm, you know, that confuses, you know, the tzibur. So, in any case, you know, getting back to the bigger point for a moment, what emerges especially for the Radvaz, and less so, but also in terms of the question of, you know, Lepalga and Lizman, is once again an equation between the categories of smicha, classical smicha, certainly for the Rambam, and the din of Kol HaTorah Kula. I'm sorry, and the din of Netilas Rishus Mirabo, and Netilas Rishus Miresh Galusa. Then, of course, we already had this question of whether a Mursha, in terms of Resh Galusa and Nasi, is somebody who has the ability, right, to transmit that, or it has to come from the office of the Resh Galusa and the Nasi himself. That, we said, is a... Does anybody have language on the Ribash? I wanted you just to get that in also. Was it Resh Ayin Aleph? Yakir, do we have that? Right? Bali Tosis assume that just like smicha is transmittable, right, every samuch can be masmich, that so too every Mursha, everybody who receives Rishus and Resh Galusa and Anasi, can transmit that as well. And Rabbeinu Yonah, right, interprets the Gemara differently and assumes that that is not correct. And the reason that it's not correct is because in the case of smicha, it's the status of the samuch. In the case of Rishus Murasa Minasi Resh Galusa, it comes from the authority of the Nasi and the Resh Galusa. And therefore, there's no implicit, you know, there's no transitivity here. Just because I get it doesn't mean I give it. It comes from their office and their authority. So the Rabbeinu Yonah has an alternative to read the Gemara, and clearly he's avoiding what Tosis is saying. And the Rivash is the one who, you know, makes his chiluk clear. Do you have it, Yakir?
Yeah.
Go ahead, if you don't mind. That's implicit, in other words. Okay, keep going. And what about the contrast to smicha, which I think he addresses?
He says,
Right, the only thing that he's saying is, that's what we saw the Srivash before, right? We were talking about Shikosayu, right? So one of the things that he says is that once there is no Reish Galusa Nasi, since it's not a status that you can just carry on, oh, you're a musmach or a mursha of the Reish Galusa and the Nasi, so now, you know, you get to pass that along. So then you can talk about Shikosayu, maybe, right? You also don't need to have an operating office of the Reish Galusa and the Nasi. But if it really comes from their office more directly, so then if there is no Reish Galusa and Nasi, so then there's nothing to even talk about, right? Aye, but that's not true for Salmuch. Does he have that line?
Yeah,
go ahead. Again, we quoted this when we talked about Shlichus Ayu, right? So anyway, so this is a very, very important machlokes. Again, this is an example, once again. We had it just now with, you know, Royal Horos, possibly, especially Lizman and Lepalga for the Rambam. You know, that's in the direction of Netilas Rishus Mereish Galusa Min Anasi impacting tremendously on Smicha. Or at least, if you hold that everything comes from the Yerushalmi, and from actual Smicha, so at least the Babli is establishing a total parallel to it, which is unquestioned. Here in the Bali Tosis, you have it in the other direction, right? We're assuming that Smicha is a paradigm for whatever you accomplish with Netilas Rishus Mereish Galusa Min Anasi, and you know that it goes in that direction. That also makes sense why Tosa says that there is an issue of possibly, well, it's an issue of Rosh Ha'ir, right? Rav Shema Bi'ira Shal Rebbe Haya, and that's why it didn't work. Bi'ira Lo Haya Rosh Ha'ir Adam Lita Rosh Ha'ir Sela Rebbe Avalin Svar Lama De Rav Bar Hana Bimei Rebbe. Okay, fine. So these two dinim that we learn in this Tosas are also part of the equation. And as we're seeing, Rabbi Yona and the Rivash are certainly attacking the connection to Smicha. The Rambam, in the end of Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, talks about, again, if you could read it, Yaakov, Halacha Yud, you have it there? Yud Dalet and Tezvav.
Sorry, which part?
What's that?
Which part?
Dalet, Yud Dalet and Tezvav. Again, Rambams that we know. I'm just putting them in a little more context now because we've seen this part of it.
Go ahead.
Okay, so here's where, this is what we talked about already, this is the Rambam, you know, possibly against Tosas. This is where the Rambam brings in Reish Galusa and Nasi, right, into Perek Dalet, even though he's spoken about all these other halachos, which in the Babli are all about Reish Galusa and Nasi, right, previously as part of Smicha. So he obviously thinks that the parallel is very strong. So then it's also just interesting to note the last halacha, which is the famous one again, about Makdish Balmum Lemizbeach. Go ahead.
Misha'ino Roy Ladun, Mipnei She'ino Yudea, O Mipnei She'ino Hagun, She'avar Rosh Galus Vinasan Lorishus, O Shetau Basedin Vinasnu Lorishus, Inarishus Mo Alislo Klum, Ashiya Roy, shehamakdish ba'amun mizbeach in kedusha chala ala.
Yeah, very important Rambam, as we know. So it's interesting to note that in the sugya, the Ramah and at least one Deah in the Ran seem to disagree. Right, they seem to think that if the Reish Galusa and the Nasi appoint someone, the impact of their appointment is chal, even if there ain't a roy. So once again, I think this just shows that for the Rambam, this is all one halacha, and it's all about a certain kind of smicha. And as such, you can't make somebody, you know, what they're not. Again, the Rambam's interesting that he took the mashal on his own of being makdish, you know, bamulim mizbeach, which has a dual implication, by the way, both for makdish bamulim mizbeach. What's that?
It's also like the Gemara and Zayin. It's also like the Gemara and Zayin.
Yeah,
which
correct, and so that's where it gets it from. Although there, the Gemara thinks about Asherah
right.
Also. So it's just interesting how the Rambam adapted it, and that's important in both directions. But the point is that because the Rambam is seeing all this in bigger terms, in terms of the objective muksharut, right, the worthiness of these candidates and their stature and so on, so he ties this all even to the Reish Galusa and the Nasi and the limits, you know, that are imposed upon them. But for the Arama and for the that day on the Ran, at least, it's very possible that they see these more in terms of an extraneous license, or, you know, just in terms of kviya, or just in terms of tashlumin, etc. And therefore, for them, the, you know, kedusha sagabra, the status of the gabra, is of less significance. Yeah.
I think this is actually Josh Kalkazar. He's not here now. The Rav Vaz over here. Also, it's a very interesting comment, the fact that, according to him, the whole ability of Reish Galusa to give Roshos is Hefker, Reis, and Hefker. So if that's the case, it's very...
Neither Advaz says that.
Yeah. So if that's the case, why would Reish Galusa not be able to appoint somebody, even if he's in a Roy? So it's a very strong, lush along the lines of what Rebbe's saying, is that he's even incapable of merely appointing him as a dying because Ki'il Makdash Bal Mum, Kedusha is not Chal, even if he theoretically has these principles of Hefker, Reis, and Hefker, and has to go via the...
Bezin.
Exactly. Meaning
very good.
Has to have some kind of shame.
Dayan. Okay, very good. That's a good ha'ara as well. So in light of this, it's just interesting also to note, getting back to our, you know, the Chiddush HaSmicha, you know, controversy again. In the, what are the rayas that the Rebbe, you know, they all scramble. We didn't talk about this so much yet. But, you know, as great as the Rambam is, right, so do you really want, you know, the entire institution of smicha to rest only on his chiddush? Can it rest only on the chiddush of the Rambam, you know, without the support of other rishonim? Right, meaning let's assume for the moment that, you know, hadavar tzorach achreya, you know, is not a suffek, right? But what about, you know, all the rishonim aside for the Rambam? So that's an interesting question. Anyway, it just shows you how, you know, how powerful the Rambam's, you know, reputation was and his impact and so on. But it would be much better, obviously, if you're an advocate for the Chiddush HaSmicha, to be able to argue that other Rishonim, you know, implicitly, but even better if it was explicitly, you know, embrace this idea. So part of the debate between the Rebbe and the Rambam, you know, is an assessment of, you know, what the other Rishonim think. But as we know, because we are these are, you know, we're doing these Makoros, it's not like there's explicit. The Rambam's getting credit for the Chiddush HaSmicha for good reason. He's the one who articulated it, right? There's no explicit embrace of this idea. So the, you know, Rebbe is just like on the lookout. The Ravid is not Masig, so that becomes, you know, a big, you know, the argument from silence in the Ravid. This is a big, you know, among Mefarshei HaRavid, this is a big topic in general, all the way from the very beginning. You know, is the Ravid's silence, you know, significant? Dr. Soloveitchik has pointed out that, you know, if you know the Ravid's view on topics, from other things that he's written, let's say, you know, in Bava Kama, where we have him, and and you know, and so on. Few masechtas where we have the chiddush ha'aravid, or tmim deim, etc. He was trying to make a bigger point. He was trying to make a historical point that you know the Ravid's reputation, you know, is as the Baal HaSagos. And what he was trying to show was that, you know, that that's like calling, you know, a great novelist or, you know, a great thinker, you know, a book reviewer. You know, because, you know, the book reviews that he wrote, you know, of a great classic, you know, caught on. So, you know, that's great. That's very important. But that's not who he is. So he wrote this article some years ago. It's called Rabat of Pasker, a programmatic essay. And his basically, he was trying to show the, you know, the fullness of the Ravid's contribution. And that was his mashal. It's a great mashal. He said, if you take the Ravid, you know, if you compare the Ravid's hasagos, you know, in the areas that we have his views in other things, you'll see that, you know, his views were much more expansive. There are many cases where he's silent, you know, in Mishnah Torah where he disagrees elsewhere, but you know, it's basically, he was a drive-by, you know, very critical drive-by critique of the Rambam, but it wasn't comprehensive. And this is an old debate, and part of the debate between the Maariv Rav and the Ralbach is this question, if the Ravid is silent in the face of so glaring, obviously, you know, you could say that the Ravid silence is not always evidence of disagreement, especially when maybe he disagrees, but he doesn't think, you know, that the Rambam's position is untenable, or when some of the issues are of less significance, his silence on a matter, you know, of such impact or such novelty, you know, that's a different story. Or maybe if it doesn't, you know, if it didn't catch on, or it's a year early, so there's nothing to say. You could go in either directions with that issue, but it's an interesting part of the argument. But when the Rivav, the reason I'm telling you this is, when the Rivav is casting around to try to figure out, like, you know, other Rishonim, so he has, you know, two tactics. One is, as we already discussed a little bit, like other Rishonim will speak about Malkus, other Rishonim will speak to be, you know, treating topics like Kiddush HaChodesh, you know, as if they're alive and well. So, you know, like the Kaftim of Farak suggestion that the Rambam himself, you know, was practicing, you know, his own Chiddush HaSmicha. But the other thing he has is a raya from the Rif. He says the Rif, here on Daf Hey, quotes some of the discussion of Heter, you know, Rishus Meresh Galusa Min Anasi. So he says that proves that the Rif thinks that there is such a notion as smicha bizman hazeh. So the Rabach, in reacting to that, says, number one, you know, that's highly dubious. But in addition to that, so the Rif quotes the dinim of Heter Meresh Galusa Min Anasi. What does it have to do with classical smicha? Not quoting the sugyas on Yud Gimel and Beis and Yud Aleph and Aleph, he's quoting the sugyas on Heyom and Aleph and Heyom and Beis. Right? But, you know, in, you know, if you ask, you know, so, like, you know, from the, ironically, because it's irrelevant, in other words, the Rivav and the Ralbach are really arguing whether the Rif, you know, held of the notion of the Rambam. But if you ask the question, you know, from the Rambam's point of view, like, you know, what would the Rambam think about the Rif quoting, you know, the Sugya and Daf Hey? Is that relevant for Smicha, or is that only relevant for Heter, you know, Resh Galusa and Nasi? So in light of what we've seen, at least in the Rambam, is that the Rambam really does integrate these dinim. That doesn't mean he doesn't know of the difference between them, but he definitely does quote, he basically downplays the dinim of Heter, Resh Galusa and Nasi, has them at the very last halacha or two halachos, but in Perek Dalid, and is, you know, either borrowing the Bavlis or paralleling the Bavlis with the Yerushalmis and Chagiga, you know, for the bulk of what he's saying, or for big chunks, important chunks of what he's saying about Smicha. So that doesn't prove anything about the Rif, and the argument between the Rivav and the Ralbach is still a very interesting one. But in a way, it highlights our issue and our question. as I say, part of this question, which I maybe will I'll leave this till, you know, we pick up with it after the first couple of shiurim of the next semester, is whether or not the sugya and dape is dealing with smuchim or not, and whether it would make a difference. Now, if you have smicha already, do you need heter mireish galusa min anasi for the p'tur tashlumim or for kfiya, etc.? Yeah.
Is the Maribir reading Gemara like the Ramban, which is that we're talking about smuchim anyway? In which case, he said, of course, the rift is possibly about smicha, or is he reading it? And I mean, to show us, but I can make a parallel between Rishos and
not clear. It's not clear. But again, so just since you're mentioning it, so that's the Chiddush Aran in Hayamid Aleph, where he quotes the Ramban and Rav David Bonfield. So go ahead, what's that all about?
If I recall correctly, what he basically says is that it's the Rapasha that here we're dealing with people who had already received smicha. And now we're just describing the Tilos Rishos, which also is required.
And then the question is whether or not that's implicit, because somebody that seems to be the debate, you know, some of the deos that he quotes. Now, do you need Netilas Rishos Mireish Galusa and Menanasi if you already have smicha, or if you already have smicha, it's implicit or unnecessary, meaning gratuitous, because you're already licensed on the highest, you know, of levels. So that is part of the, you know, this debate too. Maybe the Rambam's Mechalik Teneris on the Chutzlarts. So we'll leave that for now, because that's a little bit of a complicating factor. Lecha Mishnah weighs in on that issue, and the Or Sameach has a discussion whether or not these are two different dinim or not. So the Ran on Hayam and Aleph from David Bonfield, the Lecha Mishnah, the Or Sameach, etc. Lemaisa, are we dealing with smuchim? If you are smuchim, do you still need this rishos? If you don't have smicha, is there any point to having the rishos? Right, a double argument is also part of the discussion and the debate here. What's also interesting is that the Marik, anybody get a chance to look at the Marik? I know we're scrounging everything in the last minute, but anybody get a chance to look at the Marik yet? No? Okay. So again, we'll leave it for when we come back, but just to, both for this and the next point, to make it very quickly, the Marik has an important tshuva, which is also quoted in, it makes it to the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, Resh Mem Beis. And that is based on the reading of the Gemara. It comes up with, you know, number one, no one can give smicha in somebody else's city, or the city of his Rebbe. Ein somchem be'ir shel rabo. And number two, that a nismach is kafuf to his somech, in some sense, right? But that is particularly limited to the ikar somech. And that is, if there are three somchim, right? Let's assume even that all three had the ability to do this. If there's one who is the ikar somech of the three, there's one who is masmich, and the other, let's say, are just there for the, they're just filling in, or they're just an addition, that the din of kafuf applies to the ikar masmich and not to the others. That's the Marik gets this from our Gemara. How does he get it from our Gemara, Yaakov?
That you say that smicha from Rebbe, even though technically you got it from a shame.
Yeah, and also he said to him, like, you know, what do I need you for, right?
Right.
How did that line go?
Meharav barav huna ki ame minse behade deberish gulusa amar lav minaychun akidna reshusa akidna reshusa me abamari ve abamari me rav ve rav me rabichia me Rebbe.
Right. So he's saying, like, I don't know you anything. Right, so the Marik says, you see, from here there's din of kafuf, but the din of kafuf is from the ikar person who gives him smicha, not even from, let's say, there are three. Let's say they have only three, so not the other two, but the one. Or if he has two smichas, from the one, you know, that is the real one. As for the, you know, Rav, Ein Somchin, Be'ir Shel Rabo, that of course is, he's basically expanding on Tosis's Ha'ara on the bottom of Tosis Ramasal and Kitna Rishusam, Yabamari, the Abamari, Me Rav. So the Marik says that this is true in general for Smicha, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, you know, for modern Smicha as well. And that gets quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Anybody have the Shulchan Aruch? I told you to get just to get it on the, what is it, Resh Mem Beis, maybe Dalet? Do we have that, Yakir?
Yeah.
Say it a little clearer. Go ahead.
So it's long. Is there anyone who read the entire thing?
It's that's that piece.
Yeah.
Where he quotes the Marik.
First it starts with Talmud Al Yorah Lefnei Rabo.
Hey, is Malcolm. Check out.
Hey.
Oh,
hey. Okay. Oh, so in Talmud Yochel Lismoch Acherim B'Malcolm Rabo, Mokibo Anis Macha Smicha Miyara Rava Hu Somech Al Yidei Rabban Machilim, Hu Nasa Nahem Snif, In Ba'uso HaRav Vishtar Alav Klaun.
The Histarer, right? Swara.
Right. Well, in some Kulavado, Norushe, Shanisma, Kopa Ptsas and Sompo. Chain, Mishalom, Bishiva, Zmanecha, Nogu, Lomar, Shibu, Talmud, Bala Yeshiva, Alabisha, after Shabal Yeshiva, Shamal Yosef, Kibushim, Menu, Yesh, the Menhagim, Elu, Iker, Al, Mashi, Shiisma.
So, what's the makar of this din, these dinim?
It's
according to Marik. Now, Reishma Base, of course, is Talmud al Yora, LMK, Nato, Rishus, Mirab. But these halachos come from Shua?
I mean, like we just said.
From the Tilas Rishus Mireish Galusa Miraba. Right?
Is it possible that the Makom Rabo actually comes from
Talmud Al-Yoreh? Makom Rabo too? Very possible. We'll see in a second. So let's just go on to... Anyways, that... I'm sorry?
As opposed to Tosfos, I mean, as opposed to an expansion on Tosfos Zahara and Hanham and Aleph, maybe just it comes from straight from Talmud Al-Yoreh.
I mean, oh, I see. Very possibly. I'm not sure that Tosfos on Heyom and Aleph isn't connected even to that, but 100%. Okay, so let's go on to... So that's Talmud. You get a sense of... Just to sum up, we have these Gemaras. It's Netzios Shus Mirab Reish Galusa. There are some practical questions as to what everything is talking about, what the relationships are, and basically we've tried to demonstrate that Misvara, there's good reason to think that this is a very limited and a very narrow and a peripheral halakha, but the way that it's treated by the Rishonim, by the Rambam, by the Bale Tosfos, it's partly by the Ran, and so on, is that it's not treated as something that is peripheral, you know, and extraneous. It's treated as a form of smicha, and there seems to be a lot of back and forth, from one to the other, and now we're even seeing, and this is very important, Talmud al-Yorah, that there's back and forth too, this Marik, / Shulchan Aruch, that, these are all, perceived as variations. Differences, but variations nonetheless. And some of the specific halachos in particular point to stature dinim and status dinim, not just, practical tashlumin, and so on. Okay, so let's continue. Shua, maybe you want to just read for us?
Yeah, sure.
On Yorah Yorah. Let's start again with that.
Okay.
Yeah, so the assumption here is...
The assumption is that the kiosk would be, the kiosk in Israel Dina, at least for Horoskis or a Heter, would be sufficient.
Right, so it's not so clear that it doesn't, that there's no shame horah, but it could be there's a kalos horah, I mean, not, as opposed to just mar makom. We'll see that's important in certain things, but still, does that require reshus? Maybe kalos horah is a function of just achieving a certain level, or are we saying even more than that, that it's not even a shame horah? For example, what's the din of horah for shikor al yoreh? Right, we'll see. Okay, go ahead. Is it nitan or nitfas b'smicha? Does that depend on the Gemara here, or whether it's necessary for it? Okay, and we already discussed the Rush Tosa Rush and Tosas. Whether or not, why don't we give the answer of Tashlumin? Okay, good.
Mishum Meisa Shahaya, the sign of Pama has Halach Rebbe Lamakom Elon, the Rabbi Adam from the Gabbani Sosay Betoma, Amr Lahem, if we met the Gabbani Sosay and the Toma, Amuel, Haman Echa Balahan, the Hoyalanu may be Sahim in Achiv.
Right.
Rahu may be in Darash, but who may be Sover may be Sahim Kahamak.
Yeah. So this, of course, I might as well just continue for a minute. V'to nami b'ha.
V'to nami b'ha mei karmayon mei pega p'suvin v'pnei she'in mei b'tzayin v'in v'savar mei b'legavei chatas p'silei ikshurei nami lo mechshurei v'lovi hasan v'in chatas v'in amayim chayim v'acha ikshurei kol b'hu mechshurei.
Yeah. In any case, Tanabosa Shah.
Tanabosa Shah got Tanabosa Shah got Taman al Yorel and Kinota Vishosmek.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, of course, a very fascinating halacha. So again, one could have thought, and some people do think, that this is a very narrow halacha. You know, the, this is, of course, you know, the makar for, what do they call it, SR course. Are they still call it SR? Or they have some different Rosh Tevos now. Right? What is it now? Yeah, that's SR. They still call it that. Oh, I thought it was something with a pep or something. I thought they tried to give it a peppier name. Something pep, our pep, something pep. No?
I'm taking classes.
Okay. Anyway, so this is the, you know, the humble, the one on speech or whatever, you know, definitely comes from this Gemara. Right? So one could have thought that this is a very narrow, one could read this Gemara very narrowly. I think that would be a huge mistake. And say that Tam el Yorlim Kein Notol Rishus Mirabo, is a very narrow halacha. It's just to make sure that he's not machshel sarabim, etc. More likely, obviously, is that the Gemara is saying even something like this. What the Gemara really means is similar to what we said before, right? That Rav was a victim of his own expertise, meaning his subtle understanding of mumin was such that, you know, letting him loose on the tzibor as the posek, you know, when people might extrapolate incorrectly from his psakim, would have been bad policy. It's not because there was something wrong with Rav Chas v'Shalom, but he was just too good, you know, unless he was going to, you know, issue each time a huge, you know, clear explanation, and people were going to also, you know, take the time to read it. You know, so his expertise end up undermining, you know, his capacity to be the proper posek. So how do you look at that kind of issue? Do you look at that as something extraneous? You could, just as like, you know, somebody who can't articulate properly or doesn't, you know, feel the responsibility to. So you could say, you know, basically this is an extraneous way of just making sure that the tzibor, you know, is protected. More likely, in the case of Rav and in this case, is that a component of, you know, responsibility in letting, you know, Rabbanim loosen the community, you know, and a component of proper psak is not an extraneous thing, but a fundamental thing, is the sense of responsibility and being roes hanolad and understanding what impact they're going to have. So of course, that first and foremost, you know, begins with their level of knowledge and their level of experience and the Yiras Shamayim and the smichas that we all have. You know, we all speak about this person having, you know, spent X amount of time and, you know, somebody who has the confidence of his Rabbeim. You know, they feel he has sufficient Yiras Shamayim. And then, of course, you know, all kidding aside, you know, the SRs are really, they're important. They're not as important as the Havayas Dabai of a Rava, and that can be a problem when, you know, people don't always realize that. But as an additional element, that's the Mei Betzayim and Mei Beitzim. In other words, if he's a big Talmud Chacham, you know, if he's Rav, but you know, people are going to get the wrong impression, or if he's not articulate, or he's sloppy in the way that he, and it doesn't have to be his pronunciation, it can also be his pronunciation, but it can be lazy articulation, or just not being roes hanolad, or speaking to an audience and being insensitive how they hear things. I always like to, you know, quote the you know, the Chovos Halvavos, you know, when he talks about, you know, anthropomorphism. So he's a little critical of the Rambam, because, you know, the Rambam says that, you know, you have to be very careful, and, you know, Dibur Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam, but that doesn't give you an excuse, you know, to, you know, to violate this Ikar Amuna. So the Chovos Halvavos says, I understand all that, but, you know, in education, you know, you also have to be able to, you know, convey to people things that they can appreciate and things that they have the capacity, you know, to understand. So sometimes that requires taking a little bit of, you know, license. Sometimes you can say things that are doctrinally, you know, authentic, you know, or pure, and you can, you know, mislead people, you know, and you can cause all sorts of, you know, trouble. So you have to, on the one hand, you know, be objectively careful to be saying authentic and proper things, and at the same time, you have to know who your audience is, and sometimes you can say the truth to an audience, and you can mislead them, you know, by being my formulation, but that's kind of what he's saying. It's true either way. You can mislead people by being absolutely honest. And that is if you're not careful. That doesn't mean that people don't sometimes have to hear things that they don't want to hear. That's also part of a responsibility in leadership. But it has to be done in a responsible way. So the idea of, you know, Rav and the idea of Mei Bitzayim, you know, is not just a matter, a technical or extraneous matter. It is, it doesn't mean that the SRs are the essence of smicha. It means that the SRs are also part of smicha, but kal v'chomer ben benosho, kal v'chomer, right, you have to produce people who are, you know, ru'uyim lahora, in terms of their frumkeit, in terms of their responsibility, in terms of their knowledge, and also in terms of their leadership and capacity, you know, to articulate. Yeah. Did you want to say something, Avram?
Right, yes, I thought it was interesting, I told the rest of us as well, but in the written document quoted in Iran, he reads the question of whether you have to pay for tashlum into the question of the Gemara, right, which limits the scope of the question. You're supposed to say, you know, what was the purpose of the Shush at all? It's, you know, what, you know, if it's not for tashlum, and you know, why do you need the Shush? And he reads it, the answer is also the Indian tashlum. So it's really, it's like a very limited question.
Say again, how does he read it? I'm not...
He's
limiting this whole thing to begin with, you're saying.
Yeah.
Pasha's not that way in the Gemara, but I hear. Anyways, it's also fascinating to note that this is the explanation of Yoreh, why you need Yoreh in the Gemara, right? Again, so if you want to limit it that way, maybe it doesn't have this impact, but the Pashtus, we still have Yoreh, you know, in the Smicha. Does the Rambam have this halacha of Talmud al Yoreh Limkein Natal Rishus Mirab? Does the Rambam have this halacha? Aaron? Well, he definitely has it, but... Sure?
He has it in Hilchos Talmud Torah.
Yeah, he puts in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch followed the Rambam, and these dinim are in Yoredeya Simin Reish Mem Beis. Right? Except if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's much more expanded. They basically took Dinei Smicha. And what happened here is fascinating. The Rambam dealt with classical Smicha, and with until Shus Mirabo Resh Galusa in the end of classical Smicha, that's what we just discussed, Perek Dalet Halacha Yadalet and Tesvav, and with the din of Talmud Al Yorah Limke Nato Resh Shus Mirabo, seemingly he dealt with that in where? Perek Hei Yuchus Talmud Torah. What's Perek Hei about? Kvod Rabo. But the Rambam also has Yorah as part of the Chalos Smicha in Perek Dalet. So the first point I'm trying to make is that this Mei Bitzayim, etc., can be read in two ways. I think the right way to read it is that it has, you know, it's a Kol Shekein and it's a broader idea. Yeah?
Does
Yeah, go ahead. Correct. And that's already implicit there, but it's also implicit in his saying Yore Yore, you know, which is part of Smicha, even though according to the Gemara, right, it's connected, you know, to this idea. So the point seems to be that the Rambam holds that in addition, this is connected to Kvod Rabo, but it's not going to surprise anybody. We've been, you know, again, what the Rambam could be understood and partly should be understood that this is also an independent din of Kvod Rabo, as we'll see in a second. But in light of the things that we've been discussing all Zman, right, we also know that the Rebbe-Talmud relationship is part of the story of classical smicha, right? This idea of transmitting the Mesorah from generation to generation, and especially according to the Rambam, given his view of the Chiddush HaSmicha. So the idea that Talmud al-Yorah Elam Kein Natal Rishus Mirabo is a din in Kvod Rabo, which is true, is not at all mutually exclusive with the notion that there's a Yore Yore, which is a chalos in smicha, in addition to what Avram just said. Having said that, still the question is, to what extent are the kavod halachos koveya, or is this more of like an ishur? In other words, this is a way of, you know, getting license or sanctioning. It could be that it's a din in kvod rabo, right, only, or primarily, and it doesn't add any stature or license, but not necessarily. And perhaps this is exactly the debate that we find in the Rishonim. In this question, the connection to a bifnei rabo also becomes more acute, right, Shua? Go ahead. Because what's the next line of the Gemara? Tanchum Breid Ravami equal that what you're up to?
Yeah. So Tanchum Breid Ravami equal the Hasar. Varash Wahu, Mother Lotus Heat in the Pesach.
Yeah.
Amrulo, Varav Mining in Zurika Haha, Batania, Tama Yara Halacha, and then you keep your men with the Mopasos, and I got in Israel. Amrulo, Nava
Nathar. I didn't know. Okay, let's just finish up in a second and then we'll discuss it. Rabchia Chazia, Lo Gavra. Okay, then the Gemara says, yeah. So does that go on also on Yore Yore? Presumably yes. Right. Which again would seem to imply that whatever it is in terms of Kabbalah Rishus Mirabo, that it's also kind of a smicha. And again, the Rambam has the Yorah part as part of that as well. Okay. So what I want to do is just tend to two things. So number one, the connection here to Talmud, there are two dinim here, and the question is what is the connection between them? And this is kind of what Shua raised before, right? That's what is the relationship between Talmud al-Yorah Elam Kein Natal Rishus Mirabo and Talmud al Yore bin Makom Rabo. So on the surface, it depends. You might think that the more these are one halacha, the more it's just a din in kavod, right? Unless you think again that kavod rabo is also a factor, either in the quality of psak or in again this idea of being, you know, one of the Chachmei Mesorah. But certainly, you know, you could have taken the position that Talmud al Yorim Kein Natal Rishus Me Rabo is about an Ishur, it's a Rishus Mirabo, to make sure that he is Ra'ui Leho Ra'a, again, not obviously just narrowly in terms of his articulation, but in terms of his qualification. and that's a form of smicha. One could have thought that Talmud al Yora bimakom rabo, that that's purely a din in kavod. If the two are connected, so it either means that they're both din in kavod, or that they're both, as I say, a din in psak and in ishur. Now the idea that that this is a din in the quality of psak is something which is reinforced by the Gemara in Ksuvis, which we talked about. Again, Shua, what's the Gemara? Yeah. Samech?
Yeah, Samech. Okay. It's one where it says that it's not because of...
Lav mishumach gerusa, which is, means chutzpah, right? This isn't just a kavod issue. Elam mishum delo istaya milsa. Again, however, we don't know exactly how that works, but remember that the Netziv thought that smicha b'yadayim was a din in siyata d'shmaya, which again links up, you know, this with real smicha, right? And now I think we have a better idea what that all means anyway, right? The Rambam's Hashra Sashchina in the beginning of Perek Dalid, and this idea of, you know, being in a certain line, having, you know, a certain siyata d'shmaya because of that, and so on and so forth, things that we've been discussing all along. On the other hand, if you think it's just a question of kvod rabo, so it depends how you understand kvod rabo. The Rambam, by putting it in Perek, both of them in Perek Hei, Hilchos, Talmud Torah, definitely seems to be speaking about kvod rabo, but we've tried to demonstrate that that's an addition, perhaps not instead. The Rambam's emphasis on kvod rabo is implied by several things. Number one, the context, right? Perek Hei. What is Perek Hei about? The whole Perek Hei? About kvod rabo, right? Moreover, what's the language of the Rambam? Do you have it? Anybody have it open?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Is it
to do halachala first. Yeah. That's already getting very important. Kolacholek al rabo ki lecholek al ashkina. These are them as fighting words, right? Okay, go ahead. These are based on Chazals, but the fact that the Rambam is quoting them, and in some case going beyond them, is very significant. Go ahead. The fact that he keeps repeating it and applying it to different components, right, is significant. Keep going. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Oh, so there, what's the Kiddush in the Rambam there? Which is worth noting? That the Rambam is not necessarily only talking here about, well, we see that already from Halacha Aleph, but already in Halacha Beis, now he's already getting, you know, to you know, closer to Ardinim, that he's not talking about Hara only. Again, what was it? Koveya Medrish. V'yoshev v'doresh u'malame. That's not necessarily Hara. I mean, he starts a yeshiva and he's teaching people. Okay, you know, he starts his own enterprise. Okay, go ahead.
Then he brings down the Hara.
Yeah. Okay. So that is the fact that the Rambam is so expansive and the introduction and so on and the kavod, all this points that there is a huge kvod rabo component. Again, from the Gemara alone, you don't have to say that. Certainly not the elim ke natal rishus mi rabo part, right? But the Rambam has that. I'm just pointing out that it's not to the exclusion of the other part because that's there Two. Okay, what else in the Rambam? What did that, you read Hey Base, right?
Hey Base, yeah.
Yeah, well, how about Gimel? Yeah, we'll get to that. These are the Gemaras in Erevin. Go ahead.
So Ketzav, you don't draw Adam Osen Marga Aser, but Mei Shalom Yada Yisuro, Obut Nei Risho, Yeshol Lahav Risho, Velo Malo Dover Zeh Aser, Vafilu Bifnei Rabo, Ve'ach Al Pish Lo Nasa No Rabo Rishos.
Okay.
Shekol Makom Sheshkel Hashem, In Kolkum Kabo Dera.
Yeah.
Vamet Varim Amurim, Vedover Shenikra Mikru, Abo Lekboa Atmo Lehora, Veleishi Velo Horos, Lachol Shoel, Afilu Besofa Olam, Rabo Besofa Olam, Asu Velo Horos, Atriyamos Rabo, Elim King Arfa Rishos Mirabo.
Oh, that's our halacha now. So number one, two things. The difference between akroi and keba, one more time. Elam Kane.
Elam Kane.
Yeah. So again, just kavod, or this is also, you know, again, I think the Rambam doesn't think that there's a difference between, I think he believes that these boundaries get blurred. But it's not a particular single psak, right? It is, you know, setting up a shop as a posek, basically. Okay. Keep going. Yeah. Meaning, it's not only that you have to overcome heter rabo, you have to be qualified. Yeah, and that's when he starts quoting, you know, the Psukim in Mishle, right? These are the Gemaras in Chagiga that he's quoting. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, okay, the harsh words. So the question that we need to explain in the Rambam is, the open issue is, to what extent those two halachos are connected. In other words, certainly the din of roi lahoros ve'ina more, or ena roi lahoros more, which of course is much worse, are dinim that have to do with qualification. And the question is that also part of implicitly, you know, netilas rishos mirabo? And the kavod part is like, how could you, if you have a rebbe and he, and he's the one who taught you, etc. So to ignore that isn't just a breach of kavod, because this whole idea of being in that line, as we've discussed, is, you know, has to do with nurturing those relationships and the invisible impact of shimusho gadol milimudo, and having that sense of history and responsibility and dvus diukno and so on. So the point is that becomes, for somebody who has it and has the capacity to have it, that becomes a ma'akev in his roi lahora-ness. Or no, they're two completely different dinim. There's a din of roi lahora, and there's a din of kvod rabo, meaning it is clear in the Rambam that if he doesn't have a Rebbe Muvak, like if he died or he never had one, then the din of Talmud al-Yoralim came down. He doesn't have to find somebody to give him rishos. He still has to be roi lahoros. So how do you figure that out? You know, there have to be, I guess, other ways, you know, for that. And in terms of actual smicha, there's still a din in Yor Yor. It's nitvas b'smicha, just like heter b'chor is, and just like nedarim are, even though, you know, they could operate in theory without it. The shitaso nechus nedarim and nechus b'choros, as we discussed, right? But the question is whether or not, when you have this capacity, so b'kvius as opposed to b'akrai, that does the fact that it also applies to, koveya medrash, and that it's connected to all these other things, does that dilute it and make it mostly a kvod rabo halacha only? In which case you have two different dinim in Parakei Halos Talmud Torah, or on the contrary, where it applies, it that's integrated into that. That, I think, is an open question that we're less sure about. Also to note that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos also goes in this direction. What does he say in Sefer Mitzvos? Did you see it? I gave it, right? It was on the list? Did anybody see it? Just to get it in the record? Mitzvah Sase, what is it? Reish Tes, which is Mipnei Seva Takum. Very similar presentation. Okay? The relationship between Bimkom Rabo, as they say, and Elam Kenato Roshos Me Rabo is established a little in the Gemara. We just don't know in the Gemara whether there are two different dinam or not. Right? In the Gemara Ne'eravin, the Gemara mostly speaks about Bimkom Rabo. We'll discuss the details when we get back for the break. Is the din of Elam Kenasa Natal Rishus Me Rabo there or not? Eli? In Ne'eravin. It's a trick question. That's what I'm asking. You didn't get a chance to see it yet? Yair? Anybody see who saw the Erevin? Is the din of Ein Talmud Mora Elim Kain not over just Me Rabo in Erevin? We know that Bimkom Rabo is here in Sanhedrin. Yeah.
I only know Tos's interpretation of the Gemara, but Tos is one who claimed that the Gemara Erevin is talking about somebody who's no not over just the Gamre. So it's Aser the Gamre, and Bifnei Rabo it's Chai Misa.
Okay. Meaning?
Aser Tochol Ola. But that's only when he hasn't received Roshos, meaning Tos's.
So there, if you look at the Rishonim and Erevin, and you know there are two ways to read the Hemshech of the Gemara and Erevin. When the Gemara says that, Gemara is mechalik between the Chiyuv Misa and just Iser, for example, right? In Rava here is the Man Damar who says that Talmud Al Yora Elim Kein Natal Rishus Mirava, right? So in Erevin we also have the view of Rava. Rava is mechalik between Befanav, which is Chiv Misa, and Shalom Befanav, which is Asur. The Shalom Befanav, which is Asur, there's a debate among the Rishonim, and you're right, Tosas here is part of that discussion. Tosas here, Tosas in Erevin, the Rajab and the Raivin in Erevin. Again, we'll sum all this up when we do those one or two shiurim when we come back. But, Hayotzeim and Advarim is that some readings of the Gemara in Erevin is that the Gemara mentioned, when the Gemara says that there's an Iser, but not the Chiyuv Misa, that's a reference to Talmud Al Yorah Elam Kein Natal Rishus Mirabo. Not, right befanav, and, a bigger distance, away. Befanav Mamish, Be'iro, Gimel Parsos, those kind of, we have to understand that better too, obviously. So this is an interesting question, whether or not we're dealing with two totally different ideas, or one. And again, if one, does that pull everything into Kavod? And this part of it anyway. Or does it even mean that, Bifnei Rabo shows a certain improper, perspective, which is crucial to his, his status as one of the Chachamim Mesorah, too, in a way. So again, we won't. It sounds like you haven't done the Rishonim on Erevin. How many people have done the Rishonim on Erevin? Nobody. Okay, so we'll leave it. But things to think about, which are connected. Do you need licensing? Like the Rambam seems to say that if the Rebbe died or you don't have a Rebbe Mubak, you don't need licensing for that part of it. You'd still need to be established as a Talmud, Shehigia Lahara in some way, or you need to be a Talmud Higia Lahara. Right, but there's no official licensing bureau, right? Whereas, let's say in Ashkenaz, the Tshuva, the Rivash, Simon Reish Ayin Aleph that we're talking about, which we'll discuss extensively when we get back, says, the smicha of Ashkenaz is Talmud Al Yorah Elam Kenatol Rishos Mirabo. That's what it is. He also thinks it's Mishum Kavod, but he thinks it's Mishum Kavod, and it's a form of licensing. So let's say you don't have a Rebbe Muvak. Do you need to get it from someone else? Right? Let's say you have two Rebbeim. Do you need to get it from both of them? From a Kavod point of view, you should have to get it from both of them. If it's a licensing, you need to get smicha of some sort. To be Mora Hora, it's probably enough to get it from one of them. So these are nafkamidas in opposite directions. You don't have a Rebbe, there's no Kavod problem, but you don't have a license. You have two Rebbeim, right? You have a double kavod problem, but you only need one for a license, right? Is there, can you substitute Rebbe, let's say you don't get Rishus Mirabo, let's say you get from the Rabo Ir, or from the Gadol Hador. That was part of this big controversy with the Marash, and, you know, who gives smicha? That's a big issue. Is there a din of Royal Lahoras B'chol Torah Kula? And that, of course, would put it very, very strongly in the smicha department. You know, and again, not mutually exclusive to also being a din in Kabod. That's the tshuva of the Ramah. Lahalacha, in Yoredeya, the Ramah drops that requirement. But it's interesting, the context is, in this whole Rivash discussion, anybody see that? What's the context? They want to know whether or not somebody who doesn't have smicha, meaning the Tilos of Shus Mirabo, and he does a get, or a kiddushin, or a chalitza, whether chalitzas or chalitza or not. Wow, you mean if the... You need a rabbi for a chalitza? You need a rabbi for a wedding? But because, you know, the poskim were makbid about it, we think yes. But obviously, you know, we learned the Ksuvas last year, so, you know, if you have, you know, Ede Kiddushin, Ede Kiyum, and it's the old Cracker Jack, you know, box problem again, you know, with the, you know, issue of, you know, Edom Omdim Me'achorei HaGeder or whatever. But the Pashtus, right, and if you don't have a rabbi, you don't have a rabbi, but if you have, you know, Maisa Kedushin B'das in front of Edom, Mehu Adin Chalitza or Gittin, right, we talked about the Nod of Yehuda, you know, and the Diuk, you know, in the Mishnah here in Sanhedrin, do you need a Bezdin for, you know, for Gittin, and the Rosh Hashas Ha'ara that, you know, you certainly don't. Nod of Yehuda is very, very Mechudash, right? And the Kedar Reis is the Chalitza. See, we're already doing Chazara. Right? So, but there were some poskim who said, that's what the, you have that Ramah? The long one in Reish Men Beis. Did people not see this, or they did see it in Ramah?
Most people started Chazara.
Okay. So let's leave it. We'll just say this, that the Ramah, you know, quotes the Shita that in chalitza so chalit, but he says that we're not going to be makel that way. It's a tremendous kula. Right? It's a chumra, but it's a kula. Meaning, if there's a problem with the marriage, right? So if the marriage isn't chal, there's no mamzerus, right? So we're not going to be makel to say that's the Ramah's psak. He says why? Because, you know, it's not makel b'di'avad. Moreover, he says, Netilas Rishus is Rishus Bialma, and therefore you don't have to be Roy Lahoras B'chol HaTorah Kula. He goes back on what he says in the Tshuva. And the Shach explains, yeah, it's just, you know, Talmud Al Yorlim Keinato Rishus, you know, Mei Rabba, it's a Din and Kavah. But the Pashtus doesn't have to go, you don't have to go that far, and I wouldn't even go that far for the Rambam. What I would say is that, you know, again, some of the details are patterned after smicha. Some of them are patterned after the tilos rishus. That's why it's important to note the marik that we were talking about before about being kafuf and rav ha'ir and all these things which are indications that we're using the pattern of smicha. The language yore yore, even for the Rambam, the yore is that. But there's also a little bit more flexibility, you know, because of this component. So the question is, when are you machmir? What do you make him? And but these are some of the big issues that reflect whether or not Talmud Al Yore is a form of smicha, and if so, just as a kind of extraneous heter rishus, or it too is patterned after dinim of the tilas rishus and of smicha. I think there's a lot of evidence that there's also that aspect of it, and that's a predominant aspect of it. And that was the smicha of Ashkenaz. Smicha of Ashkenaz, basically the Rivash was trying to suggest that, you know, the problem is that there's a tension or pressure and counter pressure in the other direction. Namely, on the one hand, we say that you know, Misha Roy Laharav Ein Amora, you know, so we're very critical of it. So his point was, yeah, but you know that Talmud al Yoralim ke Nato Rishus Nomi Rabbo, meaning Kvod Rabbo is an important component, you know, as well. And therefore, if you don't have that, then you know you shouldn't be, you know, posting. So he wasn't denying that the Kvod Rabbo is an important aspect of Talmud al Yoreh. He was just saying that that integrates into this as an Ishur, or as part of Smicha. That's what Smichas Ashkenaz is about. But as I say, there's a lot of evidence that this is also an Ishur, that you need this positively, and or at least that you can't ignore it when it's a possibility, and that that's not only for extraneous Kvod Rabbo purposes, but that that's part of the Hagdara also of being Roy Lahoros, and that that's, you know, why you still have both the language and a lot of the dinim of both your Gimel and Beis and your Dalet and Aleph, as well as Hey and Aleph 2, Hey and Beis. Okay, so that's, we'll leave it for that. And Smicha, I just want to take another 10 minutes just to make a couple of comments about Eni Odeya, because I don't know, Eni Odeya, if there'll be another chance to speak about Eni Odeya. That's the, you know, they quote in the, that's what the Rajba said in the Tshuva, you know, me she'eni yodea, she'eni yodea, eni yodea klum. So, I just want to make a couple quick ha'aros, but there really is a lot more to speak about. Eni yodea is a really fascinating thing in its own right, as we discussed, and also as a way of distinguishing, you know, different applications and categories. Okay, so let me just make a few. First of all, just a curious thing, an interesting thing to think about. The Piskei Tshuva has a discussion, the Achronim have a discussion about integrity. They don't say we're having a discussion about integrity. They have a discussion about the following question. Let's say you're on a Beis Din, and let's say you know that you know, unlike the Rajba that I just said. Let's say you know that you do know. So in this particular case, or you know at least that you know better than those other two guys who are about to outvote you in the Din. Okay, if you want to make it a more palatable case, so, you know, we can talk about the Tshuvas Gonim, Kadmonim, and Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's say you're the, you know, Gomer Vesavir of the group, and the other are Sviri, so, but they're about to outvote you, let's say, according to the view that, you know, two out of three win, even if you're the Gomer Vesavir. So you're about to, this, you know, Avla, this injustice is, you know, you know, about to you know, happen in front of your own eyes. So, what the poskim discusses: are you allowed to say Eni Odeya, even though you know, right, in order to, you know, salvage halachic truth, right? So that's a very fascinating question. Again, we talked about Zakei Mamre, and you know, again, I was trying to explain that several times. That Zakein Mamre is considered to be a Rasha, right? Because while, you know, the Beis Medrash, his conscientious objection is admirable, and his tenacity, because he's fighting for, you know, truth, but, you know, at this stage of the process where the halacha demands that he acquiesce, you know, lemaisa, and that he cease and desist from poskening against unless he can convince Beis Nagadol to override, that's no longer integrity, that's, you know, self-aggrandizement and self-worship. And, you know, self-worship that is masqueraded or camouflaged as integrity, you know, is particularly, you know, dangerous and particularly, you know, pernicious. It's just, you know, it's particularly unacceptable. So, but that's in a case where, you know, the process, you know, plays itself out on the highest level, and you know, it's unequivocal. You know, ben dam ledam, ben din ledim, divrei rius b'sharecha v'kam divrei alisa. You know, this is what it is, and that's why there's a chi of misa, and it's not just a chi of misa, but as we, you know, it's a hachraza, one of the arba tzrikin hachraza, the Gemara in Peites and in Sanhedrin, kol yisrael yishmu v'yirov le'yizidunu, and you know, that's what it is. We've talked about, you know, there being, you know, moderate you know, versions of Zaken Mamre, in terms of Losasur, you know, in terms of you know, the need for the, you know, minority Dayan, you know, to acquiesce in terms of, you know, Ruba, the equivalent of Ruba Kekulo, you know, the Kuntos HaSveikos and the, and the, you know, Rib and Chaviv, you know, discussion. Okay, here it's a little bit different. The question is, can he use the mechanism of Eini Yodea? Can he use it as a mechanism, is what we're asking. To be Mosif Dayanim, to push off, you know, to like a, you know, like one of those touchdown passes, you know, at the last second, you know. It's you know, the world is collapsing, and, you know, this is his last ditch effort, you know, to make sure that the psak comes out okay. So that's just an interesting issue. That a little bit has to do with what we've been talking about, whether Eini Yodea is a chalos. But of course, it's a little bit different here because he's really not Eini Yodea. The question is, can he exploit the Eini Yodea halacha? And that's an interesting question. Okay. Anyways, we also talked about the fact that Eini Yodea, even if it's Ki'isa, you know, can't be outvoted, or we don't just say, okay, good, to, you know, two against Eini Yodea, who at most could have voted against and would have been, you know, overridden, because either of the fact that, you know, the miut has to, you know, provide a sufficient, you know, contrast to the rov, like Urim v'Tumim esque, right? Or because of, you know, the idea of overriding a compelling argument in a decisive position being a far more convincing, overriding, giving strength to the rov, or at least at minimum providing the opportunity to, you know, to convince the others, if you want to, you know, stop at the what the Rajba actually says, etc. Oh. So it's interesting to note that the Sma, you know, in Choshev Mishpat Al Atar, says, discussing the issue that the Ramah's Stira, you know, addresses, I mean, what happens if the 10 people are supposed to make a decision, and the ninth, and there are nine there, and one of them runs away, right? So, that ma'akev, the decision, do you need the 10th person to be involved in decision making? So the Sma basically says, well, maybe there's a difference between the Masa Matan and the vote. Because maybe all you really care about is, you know, hearing what that 10th guy also has to contribute. He might have been the one who would have said something different and said it convincingly. So you have that. But in the end of the day, you know, do you need him to be voting? So I think that's very interesting. In a way, it could be the nafkamina between the, you know, the extended Tshuvas HaRajba approach and the extended, you know, Urim v'Tumim approach, in the sense that, well, you know, you still need to, you know, override, and that depends on the maskana, on the actual vote. But if the point is, you know, devil's advocacy and getting the full, like, picture, you know, that you have here. However, I think that even then there might be a difference. Because even the Tshuvas HaRajba idea, or at least the extension of the Tshuvas HaRajba idea, it might not be enough on the level of Masa Mata. But actually, concretely, when somebody votes against you and you override, I mean, if his conviction, you know, follows to the point of the actual vote, that might be an aspect as well. But either way, it should just be aware that the Sma makes this distinction between Maso Matan and the vote, which of course highlights something else. That is, in general, something which we need to look at more as we go through the Masechta, the relationship between, again, the different phases, as we've been discussing, Kapala Sedus, Maso Matan, right, and then the Gemar Din. So part of the discussion, especially of Shitas HaRambam, revolves around whether or not you can split between Maso Matan and Gemar Din. Again, without going into all the details. So there's some Mefarshim, both in the Fashos and on the Malmanos side, as we'll discuss in a minute a little bit, you know, who say, oh, you know, it's not all There are basically, let's say, three approaches, let's say. One is that we actually are mechalik between, or two approaches, between the masa matan and the voting. And they really are different in terms of eniodea being a factor, a ki'isa or a kelaisa, or somebody who says eniodea, what can he participate in and what not. And we'll distinguish between masa matan and gemar din. That's one perspective, as we'll see. But equally, there's an interesting kind of meta issue here, and that is whether or not dafka we look at the masa matan and gemar din in a particular area of halacha as one, and then the impact of either your appropriate inclusion in one or your, you know, exclusion from one dictates for the other because of that integrated policy. Everybody following me? In other words, instead of saying in something like eniodea, oh, you can participate in this phase but not in that phase, let's say you can be part of the masa matan but you can't be part of the gemar din, what about the notion of saying the masa matan and gemar din are a package deal, right? But in possibly two opposite ways. Because you can participate in the masa matan, you can always vote. Or because you can't vote, you know, you can't participate, you know, in the maso mata. So again, something interesting that emerges is that there's like an interesting meta-halachic question here about what impact, right, the full package has, you know, and in which direction. Is there possible that we'd also be mechalic between the fascists and mamanists in terms of whether we're more maso matan oriented or more voting oriented, both because as we've discussed, you know, how theoretical the masa matan is, or just in terms of the stakes of the issue itself. I've suggested that masa matan and mamanus, you know, is something that, you know, is more abstract and also more koveya, and based on the Rav's idea, and that in the fashos everything is concrete and everything looks towards the gemar din, both in terms of the consequence and in terms of the nature of the din itself. But this is an interesting issue, and the question of whether or not you compare this Dayan Shamar Eniodea who's partially excluded or should be partially excluded from one, and now we're trying to figure out whether either his inclusion one, you know, gives him qualifications otherwise he wouldn't have for the other, or vice versa, to compare that, as we discussed the other day, to Talmidim, right, who clearly can participate in Maso Matan but not in voting. So that's already like a good counter. So as we discussed, the Rishonim and the Achronim, especially discussing the Rambam, but also discussing the Gemara, you know, in both directions make this compare. What, is he worse than a Talmud? Meaning, so let him be involved in the Masa Matan and not vote. Or is he, you know, is he better than a Talmud? Meaning he should be able to vote just because he's involved in the Masa Matan. So what we've been saying all along for the Rambam is he might be better and he might be worse. Right? And there might be the difference between Mamanus and Nefashos. And the reason is because a Talmud never had anything other than an involvement in the Maso Matan. Right? But a Dayan, who's supposed to be both involved in the Maso Matan and in the Gemar Din, so it's a package for him, all or nothing. So either his involvement in Maso Matan is going to give him a seat at the voting table too, or his inability to vote is going to exclude him from the Maso Matan too. But that's an important part of this whole Scott. There was a question? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wondering, regarding the point before being the chat between Yidamimus and the Toshis, everything that relates to, let's say, the Bali Tosh was saying there's a fellow between Amidim Shas Eidos for Mamanus and Toshos.
Possibly. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Those things you have to look at.
Are there any other things that Rebbe would suggest looking at?
We'll do a list as we go on, but I just don't want to get too far filled at the moment. So this is something that has to be looked at very carefully. The Ramach, just make a couple more quick haros, the Ramach in his comment on the Rambam in Perek Ches suggests that any Odeh should not be mishtate from the Maso Matan. Sounds like the opposite of what we've been saying. As we've been saying till now is that any Odeh is a bigger problem in voting where you need decisiveness, not as much of a problem in Maso Matan. And of course, that's particularly true for the hard any Odeh, right, as opposed to the soft eniodea, meaning not the Eino Yodea that says, I have no opinion, I don't have anything to contribute. Maybe that's worse even in Masa Matan, but the hard one that says, I'm a great devil's advocate, I see both sides, I can argue with equal suasiveness, you know, both sides of this debate. So it's just interesting, if you have the language there, Yaakov, that the Ramach, that you have Frankel there, you know, says, I don't understand what the Rambam's talking about the five people involved in the Masa Matan. If a guy says Eino Yodea, then he's not involved in the Masa Matan. You have that?
It's a chamisha nosim nosim v'davar. Tema, hayach yisu v'yitin chamisha, v'ha'echad amar Eino Yodea. V'sh Eino Yodea, lo yisu v'lo yitin.
Yeah. So it sounds like he thinks that the Eino Yodea, I'm not sure if he's thinking that Eino Yodea is worse in Masa Matan than he is in voting, which would be the opposite of what we've been saying. Or he's just saying, I don't see what role he has in Masa Matan either. But of course, it would work much better with a soft Eino Yodea, right, than a hard Eino Yodea. I mean, I guess a Rimi O'Neil Eino Yodea rather than a Piskei Rid Eino Yodea. It's also interesting to note that the Meiri on page 97, which is Kaf Tesem and Aleph, I'm not sure what he means 100%, but he also seems to be a little more comfortable. He's talking about possibly, instead of requiring two for Mosif and Alei Madayanim, like the discussion of the Ran, discussing the possibility of replacing one, but Dafka, because in Mamanus he thinks it's more Kalesa. At least that's what it sounds like to me. Again, that's counterintuitive. It's the opposite of everything we've been saying for the Rambam, you know, which is where the Rambam says, which is that it's Ki'isa and Mamon and it's Kalesa and Nefashos. So is that also because he thinks that Mamanus is about Masa Matan, and if you say Eino Yodea, you know, what are you contributing? I don't know. But it's something to look at. That's on page 97. The Rashash on Chav Tesem and Aleph says, even though Rashi says there that Adine Mamanus, like he says here on Hey Amid Beis, right, that Adine Mamanus Eino Yodea is Kaman D'Leisa, he says, so he quotes a Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif quotes the Rashi and says, oh, he's against the Kesef Mishnah's reading of the, he might as well say, he's against the Rambam, right, who says that in Dine Mamanus, Eino Yodea is Kiman De'Isa. So the Rashash says, I don't know, maybe that just refers to as long as he's saying Eino Yodea. He says Eino Yodea in the Masa Matan, so he's Kalesa. But if he wants to vote, he wants to change his mind and he wants to vote, maybe he'll be Ki'isa. So again, you have a few of these echoes, you know, opposite of what we've been saying, but I think for a similar reason, and that is that a Dafkin Maso Matan, you know, somebody who says Eino Yodea is contributing less. But again, if it's an Eino Yodea who's contributing both sides of the argument, that simply isn't true. Okay. Okay, then just to add to something that we were talking about before, the Rambam Shita, two things. The Rambam Shita and Dina Nefashos, which seems to be, unlike the Pashtus of the Gemara, and then there's a debate how the Rishonim understood the Rambam, but let's take it my way, where the Rambam seems to be saying that the inability to change Lechova, right, is a consequence of Eino Yodea and a symptom of the status of Eino Yodea, as opposed to just the result of Saint Kalesa. So is that itself connected, if I didn't make this clear before, to the Rambam's view that at least in Dini Mamanus, or in theory, Eino Yodea can sometimes be Ki'isa? Now the Rambam is equating somebody who says l'schus, who can't change his mind, l'chova, to somebody who says Eino Yodea, who can't change his mind, l'chova. So that could just be because the inability to change l'chova is a function of having opportunity. You have one opportunity to say l'chova, almost like a kivin shehigid. I said this already. And if you don't take that opportunity, then you're stuck. Or is it because Eino Yodea dafka is theoretically, ke'isa, for a split second, at least legabe, chova. It's not the lost opportunity to say lechova, it's that even though you're not saying l'schus, eini yodea, for the Rambam, l'shitaso, regarding mamonis, in theory, eini yodea can be ke'isa. That's a question I'm asking. And of course it relates back to a bigger question, and that is that even though the Rambam, this is something I wanted to emphasize a little bit more, even though the Rambam is the Rishon who distinguishes between Dine Mamonis and Dine Nefashos in terms of Eini Yodea being command to Issa Kaleisa, and we know that there's a huge machlokas in the Mefarshim how to take that. Now, does he really, how big the gap really is? I was suggesting the gap is quite big, and that it's fundamental. What we were seeing in some of the other Mefarshim is some of them, like the Ran, think that the Nefashos is real, and the Mamonis is kind of artificial by virtue of the involvement in Masomatan. Masomatan is Makshir him anew, right? And then we saw the Nebuke Yosef, for example, says it seems to say the opposite, because Nebuke Yosef understands that in Dina Nefashos, any day would be Ki'isa too. The only reason it's not is because of his inability, right, to switch Lechova. That ruins it for him. That creates a Kalesa. And as the Ran creates a Ki'isa and Mamonis through Maso Matan, and the Nebuke Yosef undermines Ki'isa in Nefashos because of the limitation in Maso Matan. Okay. But what's interesting is, just to point out that the three points that we did, and just to speak about them again for one more minute, that whatever your view is about the Rambam's, you know, relationship between Mamonis and Nefashos here, and it's very crucial, there still are three points that may have their roots in Dine Nefashos that are applied to Dine Mamonis without evidence in the Rambam. And that doesn't necessarily prove that the kalesa of Nefashos is Ikar. It could be the opposite. It could be that the ke'isa of Mamonis applies even to Nefashos, and therefore there's no reason. But it does show that there is a freer, let's say, link between them, assuming it isn't just a coincidence. And one, of course, of those things is the limitation of Bezen Shalai and Aleph, even in Dine Mamonis, which the Raivid seems to disagree with, and which has no evidence in the Mishnah or the Gemara, other than Nefashos. The other is Hosafas two at a time, which the Ran, as we know, disagrees with. But the third is the point that I mentioned the other day but never followed through, and that is the Halacha Gimel in Perek Ches. Okay, I'm going to go for another 5 minutes. But what is Perek Ches Halacha Gimel? Where the Ram says that there's no requirement to be Megalatam. Go ahead, Yaakov. Even though the Rambam says that any odeya is kimandi isa, he does not think you have to be megalatam when you say any odeya, unlike saying schus or chova. So what's fascinating is that the Lechem Mishnah, I don't think the diuk is so strong, but just out of the stature of and authority of the Lechem Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah thinks that he got it from the Fashas. You have it there?
Yud
Zayin Amid
Aleph. Yeah,
so that's fascinating that the Lechem Mishnah thinks that this, even though he holds Ki'isa and Mamonis, that he derives the Megalatam point from the Fashas. And of course, the argument would be, well, in the Fashas, there's no din of, even if it were true, it's not such a strong deal given in Nefashos, right? But Nefashos is no Megalatam because any odeya is Kamandalesa. So if you don't have to explain something that doesn't exist, that means that even when it's Ki'isa, you don't have to explain it. So again, if you hold like the Ran, which is that fundamentally any odeya is Kamandalesa, you just get to put the reset button each time. Just because you said any odeya, you get to do the Masa Matan. Once you get the Masa Matan, it's Makshu you for voting again. But every any odeya is still Kalesa. Right? So then you can understand that, but if you vote Kalesa, you never have to explain yourself, because the Dine Nefashos Kalesa is really the conceptual default. But if you hold this really ki'isa, and especially if you hold this ki'isa even in dina nefashos fundamentally, right, that's why you can't switch lechova and so on, so then you need a good explanation why you can't switch tam. Number one. And number two, it's dubious that that should have its source in nefashos, unless you think nefashos is also fundamentally ki'isa. So in the Frankel Rambam on the side in the Makoros Mitzayunim there, he quotes the Hagos Hatur, who says, no, the Makar is from the, another Gemara, from the Gemara in Lamed Zion. You have that? Taco?
Yeah. Because the Makarim is its nans, and Hedron Lamed Vav, the Kosu and Divrei Amizak, and the Divrei Mechayvim, the Lohus Kirk.
It doesn't mention any Odei. Okay, so that's interesting. But again, you might think that, well, if you hold that any Odei is Ke'isa, so you don't have to mention it. Okay, interesting. So I think that there's, if you hold that any Odei is Ke'isa, I think there could still be several reasons why you don't have to be Megalatam. Number one is simply you might distinguish between the argument and the person. Even if you hold the Gavra as Ki'isa and he counts, and he's not excluded from anything, right, you still might argue that the Taina is Kalesa. Or that if it's equally balanced, then at least L'inyan Tam, there's no point because it just cancels itself. The other possibility is that the whole requirement of Gilui Tam is a justification for your vote against someone else. That's, you have to explain not why you what you voted. Maybe the din is that you have to vote why you voted against the other people. For example, do you have to be Megala Tam when it's a unanimous vote? That's not so clear. When it's two against one, you have to vote. Yeah, I do. So you might say, oh, because, then it's more relevant. But maybe the point is to explain why you oppose the one, especially since the one is part of the process, too. I mean, it's a double-edged sword when you say Rubo Kakulo, right? But if you're not voting against anybody, because even though Enyo Deus Ki'isa, it's not still not a vote against, so then maybe you don't need... So I think that raises some interesting... some interesting questions. Okay. On the other side of things, I mentioned the book of Yosef and the Chiddush Aran, and our shot in the Rambam in terms of the relationship between Momentus and Nefashos and Ikar and Tafel. Just to mention that the Ikar submission and the Radvaz view in Nefashos is what? Chai? Zad? That even though the Rambam says Kelesa, they really think that you can even vote in the Fashos. Robbie?
As long as it's
a schuss. You just can't vote Lechova. That's a radical reading of the Rambam in the other direction. So the Kesed Mishnah Radvaz really think that actually the Rambam Shita is Ki'isa Eni Odeya. Even in the Fashos. And all he means is that you can't vote Lechova. But if you want to be Malamed Schuss in the Maso Matan, and you want to vote L'schus, this is totally not the simple reading of the Rambam. Yeah.
So is it fair to say that they're saying Ki'isa, or that they're saying he's not worse than a Talmud? The way they formulate it seems to be that he's kicked out of Beis Din. Now he's among the Shuros if he wants to volunteer like any other Talmud.
But he gets to vote. Not just in Maso Matan, he does get to vote.
Right, just like a Talmud who would be opposed to L'schus would be appointed him onto the Beis Din.
Correct. I mean, so we're reappointing him. Put it this way, I hear. Okay, so the question is, how far do we want to go?
Right, it depends on how you formulate it. The way Rav Vaz formulated it was, he's just like any other Talmud, he's been kicked out of Basin, but he can, if he wants to,
vote.
Exactly like a Talmud can.
Right. Maybe the Kesef Mishnah holds that it's a little bit commodity.
It's more Kesef.
Yeah. It's also interesting that the Kesef Mishnah has different perspectives on the relationship between the Imamunus and Dina Nefashos when there's a deadlock. May also be connected to that. Okay. We talked about the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos. This can be two more minutes and I'm going to stop. We talked about the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos being different than the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka. Right? The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos is saying that if it's three, one, one, right? If you have three machriya, one against, and one who says any odeya, then under those conditions you will accept the vote. But if it's four, zero, let's say one, meaning four say zakai, zero say chayiv, and one says eini yodea, right? Then under those conditions, the mosif and adayani, right? That's what we thought, that's what Rabbi correctly points out. That seems to be the pshat in the Perush Mishnayos. And we said that works very well with the view that you have to have some, you have to be overriding somebody, right? Either for the rove to work or for the rove to be a rove which is compelling, right? But we didn't, I just, you know, neglected to mention. The Rambam in Yad HaChazaka doesn't hold that way, as we noted, because the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka says even if it's 3-0 or 4-0-1, right, meaning 4 Zakai, 0 Chayiv, 1 Eini Yodea, even that wins. Okay, so what, I just wanted to get that on the record. So, Yakir, what is the pshat in the Rambam? How do you explain the Rambam? In Yad HaChazaka. Obviously, it's not because you need to, because you don't need to override. So what is the pshat? So the Rambam would emerge like some of the other Rishonim that we mentioned, namely what happens when you're Mosif Dayanim. Right? When you're Mosif Dayanim, is that a reconfiguration of the Beis Din, and now you have a five-man Beis Din? Right? Or is that a tweaking of the three-man Beis Din, which only requires the active participation of three Dayanim, you know, to win the case? Right? But just to repeat something I said, so that's a pshat in the Rambam, it seems like. And that's Machlokes HaRishonim, as we know. Meaning, right? There's one Machlokes, if you start with five, you know, do you treat the five like the three? That's one argument in the Rishonim. And then there's another argument, and that is in the process of adding Dayanim, do you treat this as a five-man Beis Din, or four in the Fashos, whatever. Do you treat it as a newly constituted, you know, bezin, or is it always three or three plus, and so on? Yeah, but I mentioned that the Radvaz and the Lechem Mishnah discussed the problem. What if you would have equal amount of Eini Yodeas as Mezakin or Mechayvin, or even in a case you might be Mechale, where combining the Eini Yodeas and the votes against are either equal or more? Right? Let's say you have in the five, let's say you have 2-1-2. Right. So the Lechem Mishnah is mistopic, and the Lechem Mishnah says, oh, if one of the new people says Eini Yodea, so we're gonna throw him out because since he's a new guy and he says Eini Yodea, he's Kalesa even in Mammon. Because we only added him to make a difference and he's saying Eini Yodea, so we're gonna replace him. He's Kalesa. Okay. That's Lechem Mishnah. And the Radvaz seems to think that it doesn't make a difference. As long as you have the three, you know, it shouldn't matter. Or between the three. But I just want to point out that the Sma in Choshen Mishpat thinks that if you have either equal or especially more Eini Yodeas and more combination of Eini Yodea and a vote against, then according to the Rambam, that would not work. So again, that's a great test case in a way, because if you hold that really Eini Yodeas Kiman Delesa and Dine, even in Dine Mominus, you know that's one thing. But if you hold that, take the Rambam literally, that Eini Yodea Dine Mominus is Kiman the Isa, so you no longer have a majority, in some cases you have a minority. On the other hand, you don't have enough of a majority necessarily, you don't have a majority to override if you hold like the Tumim, that Eini Yodea, even if it's Ki'isa, isn't a Hakchasha to either Zakai or Chayev. So that will just be a great case. It isn't such a great case. That is, it's hard to isolate the factors in terms of what you need and what Eini Yodea is, but the point is it'll be a great case if you see the reasoning, if you can get the reasoning of why people think that is or isn't going to constitute a rove, whether it's based on ki'isa or it's based on what you need in terms of roven miut to say acharabim, you know, lahatos, that would be a potentially excellent litmus. This is the sma that I'm talking about, is simin yudches sivkatan tes, where he takes issue on that issue. Okay, I'm going to stop here. I do want to say, maybe I'll, again, maybe I'll spend just a couple of minutes when we get back. I just also want to talk for a minute about kum dina and nizdakein dina in Mamonos and Nefashos, but we'll work that into something else maybe, because I think it's very relevant to another issue we've been discussing. Why do you need a double, why do you need a two-man rove in dina Nefashos? What happens when you have like the equivalent of a hung bezdin? So is that an exoneration? Is that a, you know, is that neutral? Is there a difference between, this is basically the Radvaz asking the Rambam, like, I don't understand why, you know, if you have a total deadlock, you know, that's innocent, but if you have a deadlock because of any odeya, you know, that's not. So I think it depends on how you understand the sugya of kom dina and nizdakein dina, and how you understand the relationship, what you need in dinei nefashos to be considered exonerated, not guilty, you know, hung jury or hung bezdin, etc. But I guess we'll leave that, you know, for another time. Okay, so I wish you all hatzlacha in the chazara, and we'll continue after after the break. So we'll have a couple of shiurim just to fill out Talmud al Yora, you know, bin kom rabo, and a little bit Ellen King Nathal Rishus, a little bit more, some of the things that we haven't seen, including the Tshuva, the Rivash, and other things, and mostly we'll be starting with Shara afterwards. Maybe I think.